A Wednesday Lenten Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 18, 1998, in the series Songs in the Night, entitled When the Soul is Freed from Fear. The text for the sermon is Psalm 34. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
Life is a perilous business, isn't it? We've had just a few announcements here this evening which indicate how quickly a diagnosis can change the complexion of things. Accidents can happen. I suppose if we began to contemplate all the things that might happen in the course of the day before us, we would be paralyzed. We would hardly start out on our way, for life is fragile and it is perilous, and there is enough trouble to go around. And it is not surprising that one of the accompaniments of the human experience is fear. Fear that can paralyze us, hold us in its grip, drain life of joy and energy, and leave us less than human. Fear is not simply a negative emotion. Fear has a positive function. There's good cause for fear in response to specific threat. And fear in such a case becomes actually a physical response. And it focuses our mind and makes us alert and prepares us to deal with that crisis that is upon us. So certainly fear plays a positive function in our lives, and it is not that fear that I speak of this evening, but rather that fear that can become the disposition of the soul, where our lives become marked with fear, where that fear has become a habit, and where we actually are unable fully to live and to enter into life in all of its fullness because we are cramped. We live with cramps. We are afraid. And all of us, I suppose, at one time or another, go through periods of fear. Preaching is such a problem because we're all so different, and yet preaching has to generalize. The older I get, the more I qualify everything I say, because I have enough instances that would disprove what I'm claiming that I always want to be very careful not to do more damage in preaching than to be helpful. And so I recognize that we are all different. And there are some of us who don't really live with much fear, thank God. We have been nurtured in a very secure womb of life. And there are others of us that hardly know times of security and deep rest, because we have been denied that kind of nurture that lays in the depths of the soul a kind of solidity that enables one to negotiate life's passages with all of its peril. And in spite of all of the fragile reality of our existence, nonetheless, a kind of nurture that has enabled one to move through that without being crippled by it. But granting that we are all different, some of us more prone to fear than others, yet all of us certainly knowing the experience of fear, let me point you to a song in the night, a very beautiful song, Psalm 34, as we read it together. It's a psalm of exuberant praise in its beginning. And that praise issues because the psalmist has experienced the deliverance of the Lord. Walter Brueggemann, who I always check on the psalms, has marked the psalms into three categories: psalms of orientation, disorientation, new orientation. And as he says, our life is always moving from one stage to another, from that settled state when all is well, to that chaotic state when nothing's well, to that relief of deliverance when once again things come together. And he calls this a psalm, again, as Psalm 23, of new orientation, because the psalmist had been in some situation of crisis, we know not what. But he burst forth with wonderful praise, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth." Why? Because I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my troubles. My fears looked to him and were lightened. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And he goes on after that testimony of his deliverance from fear. This poor man cried, this situation of dire need. He goes on then to generalize, because now he's able, once again, with some perspective, to see the broader picture. And he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And that the Lord will be with those who fear him, who revere his name. The young lions may lack, but not those who trust in the Lord. The experience of deliverance in crisis issues in the expression of praise, because one has been freed from fear. I suppose the best thing about such crises is that they are the points at which we are driven to seek God's face. Shame on us for waiting for the crisis, but often it is the case. And there is no more eloquent testimony as to what the Lord is able to do for one. "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." But now I want to say that the time to cultivate that kind of presence is before the crisis comes. For he called in the crisis, but he already knew how to dial the number. You don't, in the midst of the crisis, learn how to trust, how to pray. We pray in the crisis. Someone has said, only a desperate person prays. But you know what I mean. The time to cultivate that is before the crisis comes, so that in the crisis, it is the natural response of the soul. And then I want to say this too, The deliverance from fear is not necessarily the deliverance from the consequences of that crisis. The prophet, writing poetically in Isaiah 43, also hears the word of the Lord saying, fear not, for I am with you. I have called you by name, you are mine. So that when you pass through the waters, when you move through the flowing river, when the flame kindles upon you, I'll be with you. In other words, it's not the case that we can be delivered from all circumstances that are common to humankind. The question, why would God do that to me? Let me say it gently, but it's an inappropriate question. It may come involuntarily from our depths, but God doesn't do to us. Life does to us. Cancer happens to us. Accidents happen to us. Children are taken from us. Need I go on with a litany of all of the things that happen to us? But God doesn't do to us. God says, when it happens to you, I'll be with you. Therefore, don't be afraid. You don't have to live with that paralysis of fear about what tomorrow will bring, because it may bring bad news, but you won't be alone. It may bring you into crisis, but the flame won't consume you, and the tide won't carry you away, because I'll be with you. And this certainly was the experience of Jesus, who was well prepared for the crisis, who intentionally brought himself into crisis in order to be faithful to his vision. But in the crisis, had the presence. Reminding me of the psalm we saw a couple weeks ago, the dialogue of the soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Jesus says, now my soul is troubled. But you see, the very sense that Jesus can, as it were, step out of his skin and say, now is my soul troubled. Acknowledging, not denying, acknowledging the twisting of the soul, the wrenching of the soul, is indicative of the fact that he's not alone, that he's going through it with the presence. And so he can engage in a dialogue with his own soul, which is really a dialogue with the God of his life, which brings him again into perspective. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Save me from this hour? Get me out of this? No. No. The Greeks want to see me. The hour is here. The shadows are lengthening. The pressure is increasing. What shall I say? Get me out of it? Oh, dear God, I would get out of it, but no. No. Because I know that except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it bears fruit. The one that would save one's life will lose it, and the one that would lose one's life for the sake of the gospel will find it. And so, no, don't take me out of this hour. Glorify your name. It's no easy thing I'm suggesting. Some of us have seen recently a video of the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And in preparation for that, I have seen it now three times, and I've seen it twice thinking about the song in the night that sets the soul free from fear, and I couldn't help but see Bonhoeffer again as one who really had his soul set free from fear. When he met a French pastor when he was in this country as a young theologian at Union Seminary, and the French pastor said that he wanted to become a saint, Bonhoeffer said, I would have faith. And his life from that moment became the unfolding of faith. He did what he had to do. He had faith to act as he had to act. But it wasn't easy. We put people on a pedestal. We put Jesus on a pedestal. And we think sometimes that we don't measure up because we are all wishy, mushy inside. But again, these lines from Bonhoeffer's poem, Who Am I? After saying how they speak to him about how marvelously he conducts himself in the midst of the crisis, and then he says, am I then really all that which other men tell of, or am I only what I know of myself, restless and longing and sick, like a bird in a cage, struggling for breath, as though hands were compressing my throat, yearning for colors, for flowers, for voices of birds, thirsting for words of kindness, for neighborliness, trembling at anger, at despotisms, and petty humiliation, tossing in expectation of great events, powerlessly trembling for friends at an infinite distance, weary and empty at praying, at thinking, at making, faint and ready to say farewell to it all. See, it's no picnic. Wasn't for Jesus, wasn't for Bonhoeffer. It's a scary business, being human. But it is possible, it is possible to have a sense of the presence and the grace of God that enables us in the midst of all hell breaking loose to stand. And as I saw Bonhoeffer go to his death, 10 years after his death, the attending physician, who didn't really know anything about Bonhoeffer, said that in all of his medical practice, he had never seen anyone go so calmly to his death. You see, and all this was going on. But finally there is that rock bottom. There is the eternal God full of grace. And not as a constant experience uninterrupted by bouts of doubt and desperation, but I do believe if we submerge ourselves long enough in the sense of the presence of the Eternal One. It is possible to be freed from fear. It's a very great gift. It's a very great grace. And to know it, then, is to say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. For this poor man, this poor woman cried, and the Lord heard him, the Lord heard her, and delivered her, delivered him from all fear. Song in the night. God knows there's enough night. But there is also freedom from fear. Thank God.